The Lord came to set us free from religious bondage and to bring us into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. In other words, He transitions us out of the slavery and bondage of performance and religious performance into the grace and liberty of sons and daughters, of heirs, amen, in Christ. Hallelujah. That's what He came to do, is to redeem us from the curse and bring us into His blessing. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. That's what Jesus said. Hallelujah. I'm up for that. How about you? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I sense joy in the house today. Just take a deep breath and receive that joy right now. Oh, thank you, Lord. And give thanks as you exhale. Thank you, Lord. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. He has made me glad. I will rejoice, for He has made me glad. Let God lift you up out of the stuff, amen, and the worries and the cares of life, and take you into that place where there is no fear, there is no worry, there's no shame, there's no regret, there's no guilt, there's no condemnation. Narrow is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. Jesus said, I am the way. Yes. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Confidently. By way of the blood of Jesus, not by way of self-performance and self-righteousness. Amen. You can't come before God with any of your goodness or righteousness. All we can do is plead the mercy of God and say, Lord, thank You for the blood that availed for me. Thank You for the cross. Thank You that I've been given access through that precious blood to come to You and call on You and know that, my Father, You hear. Amen. Not because I've been so good, but because You're so good. And because You give me access. Amen. And because You've been so good to me, I want to be good back to You. I want to love You back. I want to serve You. I want to obey You. Amen. I want to do that which pleases You and honors You now because of love and not out of obligation to moral laws or anything else, but out of love for Him, I behave myself. You get it? It's relational. That's what it was all about in the beginning. It wasn't about some ceremony. Even the ceremonies that God gave Israel of old were to give us a picture or a shadow or type of Christ, who is the fulfillment of all those things. So that we today, in the New Testament, in the New Covenant, we have Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen? We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God dwells in us. And if you don't have Christ in you, you're not one of His yet. But you need to make sure that Jesus is in you. Amen? That you have Christ in you. Because He is your life. He is your holiness. He is your righteousness. He is your redemption. It's all in Christ. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. It's not what I do anymore. It's what He did. And my faith in the finished work. Living from the place of the finished work of the cross. Hallelujah. Thanking God every day that, God, I'm no longer a slave to sin. I am a child of God. That's my confession. How about yours today? Yeah. Amen. Let me just encourage everyone that what we experience together here, you know, is just God loving on us. Amen. Not that we deserved it. You know, religion teaches us that if I do well today, then God loves me more today, right? Now, when your kids mess up, do you love them any less? No. You may not be happy with them, right? But you don't love your kids any less because they messed up. What you want to do is you want to discipline and instruct your children as to how to do the right thing. Amen? Out of love, you discipline them, right? Out of love, you instruct them in the right way. But when they fail, you don't kick them to the curb and hate them because they fail. Because you love your children, you discipline them. And if we are sons and daughters of Him, then the Lord will discipline us. Thank God for that. It means that He's loving on us. It means that we're sons, right? And not slaves to sin. Hallelujah. So know this, that when you make a mistake, what do? You don't run away from God. You run right to Him immediately. Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Man, the devil wants to get you into condemnation. Amen. Why? Because he wants to steal from you. Instead of you running to, he's afraid of those who run to God for help. Because he knows they're going to get it. Do you know that? If you run to God for help, you're going to get it. It may not be in the form that you expect, but he's going to give you what you have need of. He will provide for you. God works in mysterious ways, and I know sometimes I don't understand what's happening, but I do know this, that God's heart is good, that God is love, God loves me. That's what you need to know. Sometimes that's all you need to know, is that God loves you. When you don't understand it, know that God loves you, that God is with you, God is for you, and He's not against you. I believe that. What can separate us from the love of God? It is just say nothing. There's a connection between thanksgiving and joy. You can't have joy until you're first thankful. And do you know that when we're unthankful, it produces depression, bad attitudes, right? When we're unthankful, it produces grumbling and complaining. You know, when we grumble and complain, it's in a sense we're saying that we don't trust in the sovereignty of God, that actually God is with me, God is for me, that God is going to take care of me, that God's going to come through for me. When I start to grumble, complain, I'm saying that this problem is bigger than my God. It's really about what you believe. Do you believe that God is greater than the devil? How many know God is bigger than the boogeyman? You don't have to be afraid of the boogeyman, amen? Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. Do you believe that? The devil wants to magnify the lie and make it look bigger than God. He wants you to get into your fears. He wants to dominate you through fear. Fear that somehow God's not going to be there for you. Somehow God's not going to come through for you. That God's not able to protect you. How many know that God can hide you?
Ooh, amen.
God can make you invisible if He chooses to.
That's right.
God can give you the ability to run through a hostile crowd and escape. Just like Jesus, if He so chooses to. Because God is bigger than the boogeyman. He's bigger than your situation. He's bigger than the problems that you face. And there is a place of refuge in the spirit realm, in Him, to where you can have peace of mind. Peace that passes all understanding. So, we need to go deep into God. When the winds begin to beat against your house, when trials and struggles come your way, what do? You go to God. You go to go deep into God. Amen? God wants your roots to grow deep so that your house won't get blown over. Amen? Your tree won't fall over. Sometimes we're just like that shallow, you know, sapling that doesn't have any root. We might have sprung up, and for a season we may even be excited about God, but if we don't have root in time of tribulation, difficulty, your tree can get knocked over. You know what I'm saying? So we've got to have roots, and your roots have to go down, amen, to where they latch onto that solid foundation, that solid rock, Christ Jesus. Go deep into God, amen. Don't, as we say, play around in the kiddie pool. Don't just splash and don't sample this thing. You've got to trust God's heart enough to really give yourself fully to God. And let your roots grow deep down into Christ. He is the only one that is going to be able to sustain you in the days to come. You've got to know today who your God is, so you'll know who He will be with you tomorrow. Amen? Thanksgiving and joy are married together. In the Feast of Tabernacles, this was the annual feast of the Jews that God had given them as a memorial so that they would remember the time that they had wandered in the wilderness and how God had been so faithful to them and provided for them. And so on this day, and this is an 8-day feast actually, but they were to build these temporary huts. Like Sukkot is another name for tabernacle, right? And they were to be made of willow and palm leaves. And in other words, they were to represent the temporary dwellings that they stayed in when they were in the wilderness. And that they were only passing through. They were not to permanently dwell in these places. Come on, somebody. Sometimes we want to permanently dwell in a certain place. I'm comfortable. I'm good. Amen. But how many know that that roof is going to start to leak? Those leaves are going to dry up. Amen. And the sun's going to come out and it's going to scorch you because you're supposed to be going somewhere. You're supposed to be pressing on, keeping your eyes on the prize, looking at Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, pressing forward, pressing into God. He's got a place of rest for His people if they will press in and receive that He's calling you to. And remember, it was by unbelief, because of unbelief, that the people of God in the wilderness did not believe that God would do what He said He would do, that they weren't able to come into the land of milk and honey, the place of rest that God had for them. God had promised them a land. And yet, because of unbelief, many did not receive the promise. Likewise, fast forward to today, there are many who will not receive what God has for them because of unbelief, because they don't really believe what God says. Sometimes we approach the Word of God like a buffet, where we just kind of pick and choose what we want, you know. I like that, but I'm not going to be eating any of that today. Let me just hang out here in the dessert aisle. How does that work for you? Only for a little while you'll be enjoying that dessert, but after a while you're going to get sick. Amen? And you're going to need some nutrition. You got to have some meat and potatoes. Amen?
Amen?
Some people, they just come to church and they just want some dessert. A little dab will do you kind of thing, you know, and then they're out of there. And then they live in the flesh. They live defeated, fruitless. No joy, grumbling, complaining, because their faith is not at a high level. Why? Because faith comes through trust in God. My faith is enhanced as I press in. You cannot be in God's presence and not have confidence in God. You cannot be in God's presence and not have confidence in God. He is our confidence. He is the one that makes me know that it's well with my soul. That is good. And I'm okay. You ever been in a place where you weren't sure about that? And you were really pressing in and praying and seeking God. And there's this time for that, you know, a season to really reflect and check yourself out and make sure. Amen. That your salvation is authentic. You know, priest is going to be able to pray you out of purgatory. There's no such thing as purgatory. That is something that man created. The Bible says there is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. In other words, that's it. You got one shot at it. Now is your opportunity. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to get your heart right with your Maker. Amen. And you don't do that by coming to a man. You come that to that man, Christ Jesus. Amen. Only Jesus can save you. Hallelujah. All we are is messengers of the Lord. We're newsboys. We're just passing out the news. Amen. Hey, hear ye, Jesus is Lord. Jesus saves. Jesus heals. Jesus delivers. Jesus sets the captive free. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to the Father. Trust in Him. Call on Him. Believe in Him, and you will see, because believing is seeing in the kingdom. I believe God. I believe what God said. My mind sometimes plays tricks on me. My mind is saying something else. And that's why I refer to the Word of God and the Spirit. Amen. I say, but the Lord said this. Who am I going to believe? It's what you believe will determine how you live. There were two ceremonies in this feast. One was the lighting of the torches, and this is where they would light torches and they would march around the temple, and they would set these torches around the walls of the temple. And this was in fulfillment, or as a type or a picture, of Messiah, who would be a light to the Gentiles. And they didn't understand a lot of this at the time. But when they would light these torches and they would march around the temple and they would set them around the temple to light up the temple, it was a symbol or sign that God was going to bring salvation to the non-Jewish people. That's you and I, amen, most of us. And so then they would quote Isaiah 49 and verse 6. Look it up, write it down. And then there was another ceremony, which I've mentioned quite a few times because I just think it's awesome. It's called the water pouring. And this is where the priest, along with the people, would march from the Temple Mount down to the pool of Siloam, and they would draw water. It was the drawing of the water. And then together, the priest, the high priest, with the people, all rejoicing. They were commanded under the law to rejoice. You ever tried rejoicing by command? All right, one, two, three, rejoice. But they were commanded to rejoice. Well, under the old covenant, they said, okay, God said do it, we better do it. And so they would rejoice and they would ascend up to the temple mount. And then they would do what? They would pour the water out. And they would recite Isaiah 12 and verse 2 or 3. Therefore, with joy, you shall what? Draw water from the wells of salvation. Right. Salvation, which is, that word is Yeshua. What is Yeshua? Who do the Messianic Jews refer to Jesus as? As Yeshua. You know, with joy, you shall draw water from the wells of what? Yeshua, Jesus. He's talking about the Messiah, Jesus. And then Jesus, it says, on the last day of the feast, that was what? That was the last day of tabernacles. At the water drawing ceremony, Jesus had attended, amen. And he said in John 7:37, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. To those who believe on me, as the scripture said, it was speaking about Jesus. Jesus was a fulfillment of that which was written. And they didn't understand everything they were told to do, but they did it because God said to do it. And God told them to do it because he wanted them to see a picture of the Messiah so that when Jesus showed up, they would be able to recognize him and know that he was the Messiah. He was the fulfillment. And what did Jesus said? To them that believe on me, as the scripture has said from Isaiah, right? Out of their belly will flow rivers of living water. Yeah. Hallelujah. So today, we don't rejoice by command. We rejoice because we can, because we have joy. Because if you have Jesus in you, you already have joy. Yeah. You got to believe you have joy. You got to believe you have peace. You got to believe you have righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Relationship. It's not religion. It's not performance. It's not ceremony. It's not ritual. Jesus fulfilled all that and says, if you're stressed out, you had a hard week, you don't need to go to the temple. Come to me. I am your Sabbath. I am your rest. You will find rest for your souls in me. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And we come together as the body of Christ to celebrate what he has already accomplished for us. And as living stones, we make up his temple. And we, amen, are possessed by the Spirit of the Lord. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell within our hearts. And we become members of Christ's body. And together, we are an expression of God's heart in this world. That's who we are. In the diverse ways that he uses us. Amen? Everybody's a little different, would you agree? Some are way different. But we are. We're unique. We're different. And that's okay. God doesn't want clones. He made us to be individuals. Hallelujah. Thank you. You want to come up and preach? No? Okay. All right. You're doing a good job from back there, though. Hallelujah. The next morning, when the torches were still burning, because they would burn throughout the night, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. A city set on a hill, amen, Mount Zion, cannot be hidden. Interesting how it all connects. God did this. God shows us this. Jesus is the light of the world. And then when Jesus ascended to the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit and he commissioned his followers, his disciples, and he said, as the Father has sent me, now I'm sending you. You are now the light of the world. You are that torch of the Lord. You are the candle of the Lord. You are his light. What does a light do? A light lights up the darkness. Yes, yes, yes. The darkness cannot comprehend. The darkness cannot overcome. The darkness cannot defeat light. Light always overcomes darkness. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The light of the world is in me, the Holy Spirit. So I have light. And therefore, I am a light. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Keep me burning throughout every day. That's my version of it. Anyways, hallelujah. You know, you got to keep oil in your lamp. Remember, as a priesthood, we are to be keepers of the flame. God supplies the oil, but it's our responsibility to make sure we keep oil in our vessels. Amen? We worship, we sing, we pray, we call on him. Amen. God, I need oil. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Hallelujah. Give me. Yeah. So let's just say hallelujah. Let's say it together. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. I bless you, Lord. You are my source. Of hope, of oil. Fill me, Lord, with your holy oil. Light me up for you to be a light in this dark world. In Jesus' name, amen. Woo. So grumbling is the opposite of thanks. If you want to be a joy killer, just start grumbling. Not only will you kill the joy in your own life, but you'll influence others around you. You know what I'm talking about? You hang out with the wrong people that are always grumbling and complaining. Ever have noticed how that kind of has an influence on you? Next thing you know, I mean, you can listen to radio personalities, and even though what they may be saying may be correct. In fact, some preachers, they may be saying correct things, but if all they can do is find out and discover and expose what is wrong all the time, and dwell on what is broken and what is not right all the time, guess what? You can get into this funk of negativity. Now, I'm almost sounding new agey. Now, oh, that negativity thing. Positive attitude. Oh, I don't know about positive. How many know that God is about positive attitude? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Oh, the new agers take stuff from the Bible. They pervert it and call it man's thing, you know? God wants his people. We should be the most positive people on the planet. Why? Because we have hope. No matter what happens to us, we know that God has not abandoned us. He has not forsaken us. He has not forgotten us. And God promises to work all things together for the good to them that love Him. Amen? So we trust and put our confidence in our great God who has already given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. It's in Christ. If Christ is in you, you have all that you have need of to be a light. To be a joyful expression of God's heart. I remember when I was a fairly new believer, and God hooked me up with this older gentleman. And he lived on the street, and he ministered to the homeless. And a lot of people would walk right by him and probably not give him the time of day, you know, because he just kind of assimilated and fit in with the street people, you know. And I remember one day I met him at this church I was at, and I just said something to him in, you know, casual conversation. I just said something to him, and he responded. And when he responded, it was like, wow, this guy has a connection to God. This man knows God. You ever run anybody like that? Look at your neighbor and say, I hope that's you. But right away, there was a connection. And I knew as a new believer that this man was going to be good for me. So right away, God kind of connected me with him. And so we did ministry together. We did prison ministry and other stuff. And it was, remember? Some of you remember. Chuck remembers David. And I know sometimes he was misunderstood and people didn't get it. But I gleaned so much from this guy. You know? Just I wanted to hang around him. I wanted to learn. I wanted to glean. I was hungry, you know, for something authentic. And you know, God has placed people in your life that are there for a reason. Because God gives us mothers and fathers in the faith. Amen? And each one of us need to be submitted to one another in the Lord. We need to be in a place to receive, amen, and to be ministered to and be mentored by faithful men and women of God. And so we don't want to get into this funk of complaining and negativity. But God is a positive God. Why? Because God's not in stress. God's not up in heaven saying, oh my word, what just happened? Yeah. Come on, God sees it all, knows it all. As a matter of fact, He knows what you're thinking right now. And He knows what you're going to do. And He knows what you have done. So there's no secrets. And He still loved you first. He still went to the cross for you. It doesn't matter how bad we've blown it. God loves you that much that He says, if you come, I'll give you rest. I'll forgive your sins. I'll give you a new heart. You'll become my son. You'll become my daughter. Amen. God didn't come to patch up the old thing anyways. He didn't come just to improve upon the old. He came to make us new. New creations in Christ. Sons and daughters. Amen. Relational. Relationship with God. Relationship with one another in the Spirit. And the Bible says not to know any man any longer according to the flesh. Don't judge people by their appearances. Amen. But we know people by the Spirit in them. And David was one of these people that he had such a beautiful spirit. You know? And sometimes we're fooled by that. You know, sometimes the Bible says in James that you may be entertaining angels unaware and not even know it. You know, you may invite somebody, you know, to dinner or whatever, or hand somebody something that's in need, you know, and you don't know who that person might be. You know, a quick story. My wife was telling me about this one woman that took a guy off the street. He was so dirty, literally had to peel his clothes off and scrub him with a brush for a long time to finally get him clean. He'd been dirty for years. Fed him, gave him a place to sleep. Long story short, the next day, she discovered he's not there. This man was an angel unaware. We're not to judge any longer according to the appearances, amen? Status, social status. How educated you are. Amen. How good looking you are. Come on, some of the prettiest people on the planet can be some of the most corrupt people on the planet. That doesn't mean anything. You can put paint on a pig, right? Stop. Let's not throw any names out there. We want to pray for those people, right? Pray for those names. Hallelujah. One of the sayings that they had when they would do the water drawing is, he who never saw the rejoicing of the place of drawing of water never saw rejoicing in his life. This was such a celebration. And folks, hear me. If under the law they could rejoice at a celebration such as the water drawing, how much more today, where we have been given access to Him who is the fountain of living waters, Him who dwells within us, hallelujah, so that out of our spirit or our belly will flow His life. How much more should we be rejoicing today in the expression of His heart, amen, together as His people? And it's unfortunately so many people, they come and they look like they've been sucking lemons. And you know, sometimes I feel like I've been sucking lemons too. Let me just be real about it, okay? But what do I do? I say to myself, wait a minute. God didn't give me that. You know, I'm not receiving that. God has given me joy. And so I believe what God said about me, that in Him I have righteousness. Oh, I don't feel righteous today, but in Him I have righteousness. I don't feel peaceful, but in Him I have peace and I have joy. Let's say it together. I have righteousness, peace, and joy. I have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. It's in the Spirit of God where your life is. Live from that place of communion with the Lord in your heart. Amen? And live rejoicing before the world so that the life of God will be released out of you and it will touch people. The light of Christ will shine through you and people will see, hallelujah, that you don't have your candle under a bushel.
Hallelujah.
But you set it on a stand. Amen? So that all may see it who come into the house. Hallelujah. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Hallelujah. There is a connection between thanksgiving and joy. Another name for this was the Feast of Joy. The Feast of Joy. So they were experiencing something that is freely available and given now freely to us, and that is the joy of the Lord. And I'm going to finish with this because I use it a lot, but it's so good if you can remember this. Thanksgiving, having a heart of gratitude, appreciating God, appreciating even the simple things in life. Amen? Some people, they may just get a meager meal of maybe a little bit, a handful of rice, if they're lucky. I shouldn't say lucky. But just a little bit of something. And yet they will say, thank you, God. Thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for providing for us. And do you know that God can make a little rice go a long ways? Did you know that the early settlers, the pilgrims that came over that first winter, in some of the earlier writings, not the ones after 1920-something, but the earlier writings of the pilgrims, they said that they lived on a ration, hear me, of 5 kernels of corn per day through that first winter. And God supernaturally provided for them, and God brought the Indians to help them, of course. But it was the 5 grains of corn that God actually multiplied in the sense where they were sustained by that meager meal. And do you know what? They gave thanks to God, didn't they? And through that time of giving thanks, even in the little, then the day came when they had what we call Thanksgiving. Amen? Where they celebrated together with her Indian brothers, and they just had an awesome feast. See, if you have to wait for something, it makes you appreciate it more. If you have to wait for that meal, it makes you appreciate it more when you get it. Thanksgiving produces praise. When you're truly grateful, you will say, thank you. You're awesome. I appreciate that. Praise you, right? In a sense. Bless you. What do? We bless the Lord. We're thankful. It produces authentic praise. And what does praise do? Praise brings His presence. Where there's a heart of gratitude, there's a connection to joy. Because where He is, there is joy. In His presence is fullness of joy. Okay. Praise brings His presence. In His presence is
joy.
And the joy of the Lord is our strength. Okay. Begins with thanksgiving and it ends in strength for your day. Hallelujah. Don't get into the grumbling. Don't get into the complaining. Amen. Instead, be thankful in all things. In all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ that concerns us.